Hey guys, how's it going?
I'm so glad we didn't record any of the pre-podcast chatter. It got smelly.
I'm slightly upset that we didn't.
Podcast chatter.
Anyway, moving along quickly. How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
It's a big day over here. Well, not over here specifically, but there's a lot going on right now, at least from my vantage point.
In Portland or in America or in the world in general?
Well, definitely in the world in general. That's not all good stuff, but the good stuff is there's some petals coming out. We've got some petals coming out.
There are?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Tell me about these petals.
First one is, it was kind of a fun project. I got a call out of the blue probably 3 weeks ago from my dude, Mr. Chris Benson, to come over to his studio that he has at his house. And they were shooting the promo video for the new Benson Delay that is out, I think, literally today as we record this.
Right. When we do the edit, can you just put Metaverse by Wampler over every time Blake says Benson Delay?
Okay, yeah.
Want to be advertising his
delay. That won't be tedious.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a fun thing, because outside of it being a cool delay, go watch all the videos. I won't bother like describing the whole process again here, but he was like, hey, Brian, you can probably relate to this a little bit. He was like, Blake, I need some of your extrovert energy. He's like, I'm an introvert. My camera guy is an introvert. And it's kind of mellow over here. I need you to come over here and amp things up a little bit. So.
Oh, geez.
So I did.
So you brought a bunch of espresso and you're like, let's do this.
Woo! Yeah, I basically just kind of stood off camera and asked him questions as if he was on the podcast. It was pretty much what I did, just to kind of like, sometimes you get everything set up. You spend all the time to like get the technical details out of the way. And then you're just like, all right, tell us the story about how this was created.
There's energy when there's more than one person. It's hard to like manufacture that energy when mm-hmm. it's just you staring at a lens.
Yes. Know? Yep.
That's more difficult than a lot of people think, you know?
It's always easier to bounce off of other people. So yeah, I went over there and just asked him a bunch of questions, and like, I'm not in any of it, but you can tell he's like looking off camera and talking to somebody. And that's me. I'm the ghostly voice in the Benson video. Can we hear you? No, I don't think so.
So it's just like you ask him a question and he responds, and that's the bit they filmed.
Well, yeah, it's cut together as like a documentary, sort of.
Awesome.
You know, yeah, how you don't always hear the questions being asked in a documentary. You just see the guys responding to the tale.
Is someone using a reverb pedal somewhere?
Yeah.
On our recording?
In the background.
That was my heater. You guys don't want me to be warm?
No, you must freeze.
I won't freeze. It's not cold. I just forgot to turn it off.
I honestly thought that was a pedal self-oscillating. I was like,
it sounded like something feeding back a little bit.
I was like, did I leave my delay? Yeah. So he's made a delay pedal. It's not as good as the Wampler Metaverse, but it's probably pretty good. When does it come out?
I believe it is launched today. I think he announced it yesterday. I don't know why he announced it yesterday.
Is that today as we record or today as we release?
Today as we record.
Oh, amazing. I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the circuitry. You got the schematic handy in front of you?
No, I don't. But you will probably find this kind of interesting that's where I'm going to go. Oh. He started with bucket brigades, and this has been like going on for like 3 years. And he ended up switching to the PT chip, surprisingly enough.
Oddly enough, you can get them to sound pretty similar, and it's more flexible. And
mm-hmm.
Which PT chip is that? Is it it's not the 4558, is it?
No, that's not a PT chip. That would be a standard.
I made that number up. I completely made that number up.
2399.
Yep.
That's exactly what
it's one of those things, like I've played a lot of PT based pedals, and they all kind of have a certain twang to it, for lack of a better word.
Yep.
And this is the first one I've played that, if you hadn't told me it was PT based, I may not have known. Like, it was really surprising.
There's a lot of people that don't change the filtering on it so much, and so they kind of, because it comes with like this data sheet that says, here's how you make a delay, here's mm-hmm. all the part values, etc. And there's a, I mean, probably not so much recently, but when they first came out, it was pretty common for people just to use those part values and be like, aha, and a delay.
And am I right in really am I right in thinking one of the, was it the Reverb used those, or
the Photape Echo did?
The Photape Echo.
Analog Echo did.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, because I found a
Vospring.
I found a
Vospring
knockoff circuit online, and I was like, hey, right.
Yeah, there's DIY circuits of it out there.
Yeah.
The Vospring used the Belt and Brick, which is actually three PT2399s in series.
Oh, is it now?
What's inside of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did not know that.
So then, so basically when we redid it into the mini size enclosure, we just used three PT tips rather than the Belt and Brick.
Yeah.
But that also allowed us to do some other things, get more time and change it. But
because I have to admit, Bright, I'm already bored of making gain pedals. I want to move on to reverb and delay now.
Hold on, hold on a second. Can you try this in English again?
He's bored of making gain pedals.
Hold on. Well, I'm going to need Google Translate. I don't quite understand.
Okay, let me tell you.
He's growing weary.
I need something new to do this week, but I'll probably be back to gain pedals again next week. Actually, it's a complete lie because I have been working on a gain pedal, but I do fancy building a reverb or a delay, but probably a reverb. Well, yeah, but then we were talking and you kind of put me off the idea of using the Beltron brick. You were like,
You can, but it does. So the brick does like a thing. And you basically run a signal into it and you get reverb out of it. And it's, everything else is enclosed. You know, so you just, it's not flexible. So what I would tell you is probably start with a spin chip. You can get them. You should be able to get them somewhere in small quantities. Because the programming is easy. It's kind of like an all-in-one type of thing. So it makes it much more simple than, like using ARM chip and all the crap that goes along with that.
Yeah. And the Belton too is like, if I remember correctly, when that first came out, that it was made specifically to sound spring-like.
Yeah.
And if you're not trying to do that, then, you know, and maybe you are, but spring reverbs are
not
great.
Really.
But,
I mean, yeah. What I really want to be able to do is to go back and visit my father, berate him for the way he raised me, and then go back up his tower, take that, you know, IR that we spoke of, only there was an app that could do this for me, Bri, and then put it into a chip. Is that even remotely possible?
So we had a listener that sent us an email this morning. I'm pulling up his name. And Andy, I guess it'll be okay if we say his last name.
I think so.
As long as it isn't shared with a dictator from like 1940s Germany, it's totally fine.
So Andy, I'm going to say Hullinger.
We'll go.
Sure.
Hullinger.
Yeah.
Hullinger.
Sure. Anyways, he sent this to Richard. He's like, Richard, you need to go up in that bell tower. You need to get an IR with this thing. Oh, my volume. Get an IR with this app. It's called Outsidify by BASTL. Never heard of either one, but it looks really cool. You can basically you can make your own IRs with this app really easily. And I am definitely going to purchase this today.
I was going to say, I think Andy is very okay with his name being public because the email he sent it from was from his website. And yeah, he has a whole website. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So we don't have to edit.
He now owes us exposure bucks. I love it. Now that's how we make money.
Good. We have his email. We can send him an invoice.
We were discussing this a little off air, Bright. At the moment, it's kind of, I mean, we don't know because we haven't looked very closely at it this month, but it's kind of financially difficult to make a commercially viable reverb pedal that you could like load IRs in that wasn't just like an IR loader. Like there isn't a shortcut to make it cheaper somehow. you'd need the full kit and caboodle to do it properly, and by which time you've basically built an IR loader pedal and you're competing in that market. Because you need, you need, like, what did you say? It was like 3 hours worth of time versus 30 milliseconds.
So most, like, IR loaders for guitar cabinets are like, well, the cheaper ones are like 40 milliseconds, which is pretty quick.
Yeah.
The seems like the more you pay, the longer they get. So what the Strymon's might be 300 or something. I forget exactly. I think the two note captors, I think those are 500. Anyway, so usually about 500 is about the limit. Now that's half a second.
Blake's just undone his pants live on air.
Yeah, you guys are in for a treat.
I didn't know that was that exciting, but okay.
It's very exciting. It's just thrilling. Wait, I love milliseconds.
You do you. I just don't want to see your
milliseconds. When he said that the more you pay, the longer it gets, that's not what he meant, right?
Anyways,
this isn't Patreon, Richard.
With a half a second IR loader, you're not going to get a very good reverb. Unless it's like a room. You could put a room in that. You could put a room reverb in that.
No, but I want cathedral size.
Yeah, usually you want 3 to probably 6 or 7 seconds or so. Or more, you know? So for that, you need more processing power and more memory and all that good stuff. And at that point, you're basically just kind of putting an iPhone into a pedal.
Yep.
Ah, speaking of...
Oh, don't drop it. What do you have there?
No, I don't want to drop it. This is the new Maris pedal.
Oh, this is the thing they said is going to change the way that we look at everything, right? That was their advertising campaign.
That's a good advertising campaign. So, they do a good job.
So can you talk about it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is officially out today. I've been playing with it. They just updated it.
What's it called again?
It's called the Mercury X.
Mercury X.
So basically, it was kind of funny that you guys were talking about all this stuff, because this is a reverb that you can, if you see all those little modules there, Richard, I know the listeners can't, but there's little modules on the screen. It's the same platform as the LVX delay, but it's a reverb. So you can go in there and literally like build your own reverbs. Now it has like 80 something presets that I haven't
fully explored. And how come you have this, Blake?
Because.
The guys from Maris clearly love you. Is it because they listen to this show or your show?
It's because they listen to my show.
Well, then we're not going to talk about it, because if they were listening to this show, I would be very willing to tell them how much I loved their pedal if only they would send me one. But as there's no chance of them sending me one, I'm going to poo-poo it. I poo-poo your pedal, sir.
You poo-poo it away. Don't poo-poo on my pedal.
It looks very cool, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and like it's too much to go into to describe every feature on this podcast. But yeah, it is like you were talking about being able to like load IRs. You can't do that, but you can literally go in there, and they have so many parameters. You can build insane things in there. So like pitch shifting on different channels, and excuse me, different styles of reverbs. And I have not yet plumbed the depths of this thing, so. It's pretty intense. But
it looks like they're just taking like the interface that a lot of people will design DSP effects with and putting it inside of a pedal and just making it easier to do.
Yeah, the LVX, the interface itself is actually kind of what makes it fun, because some of these more complicated ones, like, you know, like the timeline and things like that, which are great, but they get a little bit confusing. And I know Richard's not a big screen guy in pedals, but in things like this, I feel like it makes it way easier to navigate. And that's one of the things they've done really well with the Mercury X and the LVX, is I'm dumb and I can still get my head around how the signal's flowing through this thing. And you can almost build out like a full kind of like American Cyclops style weird signal chain all into that unit. So it's pretty.
I mean, it's not heavy. That I don't like screens in pedals. I was chatting to a good friend and colleague of ours, Stefan Killerman, today. And he's got 5 reverbs and delays, I think, on his pedal board. And I could see something like that one there replacing a number of them because of the different parameters you could tweak. But and actually, he had a problem with a different screen bass pedal, which I'll come to in a minute. For me, it's I don't even have time to record myself playing like basic guitar, drums, and bass, let alone explore the parameters of something like that. However, life is long, and you know, I do fully intend to explore this at some point. But I like my pedals to have simple knobs, simple switches, preferably free also to me.
Do you like, Richard, I feel like you, this is up your alley. Do you like your pedals to have a preset where you can have a Gregorian chants coming out of the pedal?
Well, absolutely. Show me what you got here now, Blake. This is
that's one of the presets they have in this
Gregorian chant. You can make your guitar sound like a Gregorian chant, or the like a chamber of a
music
of a. Oh my! I'll have to give it a go. What's the other pedal you were rocking there? The blue one.
Oh, that's my power supply.
Oh,
I love that. What's that sound like? Yeah.
It doesn't sound like anything. That's the best part.
So that's a Meris power supply that it comes with, is it?
No, this is that Mission one I've been using for a while.
Okay, it's just the... Yeah. I saw the little circles at the top left, and I was like, that looks like the interface. Show me
actually,
the interface.
Actually, it does look like the interface, doesn't it?
Yeah, move it more central. Hold on, let me... Listeners, he is angling his pedal at me in a non-violent way.
Sorry, I turned it off.
Yeah. Hey, it's pretty clean.
This is like one of the preset modes, so it's, you know, pretty easy to tweak on. That takes like no learning.
I'm really searching for a good reverb. sorry, something in my throat. If only I knew someone who could make me one.
I wonder if there was a guy that like had a really cool digital interface that could maybe be integrated into doing some of that stuff too.
Or maybe I shouldn't lend my pedals out to celebrities.
Maybe.
It's going to be like 5 years from now. Richie's going to be like, you remember that time that I lent my gear out?
I'm so angry. The thing that makes me angry, Bri, is not the sheer Mickey taking of the situation. It's the fact that I don't have my beloved reverbs and distortions that I had. I've had to make do with... Well, I've got plenty of gain pedals. That's not a problem. But... I was using the Reflection, Brian. I don't care what anyone says. That is a great pedal. The plate mode on it is sublime. It's so simple. You dial it in with like three knobs and you're there.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Can I have another one, please, sir?
If we have any in stock, yeah.
Yeah, we don't.
There's a certain person that you would literally just email and say, hey, I gave these away to an artist and I need them back.
Yeah, and then you'd get an email going, is it right that Richard gave 12 Bravado amps out to an artist? Because he's asked us to send them over.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, yes, this artist said that they would give us great exposure for it.
Exposure bucks.
Yes, this artist is based in Portland, Oregon, and somehow needs 12 Bravados.
So, yeah, I like the look of that... of that Meris. That's very nice. If the guys from Meris are listening, me and Bri really need to get more familiar with that pedal. You know, send us one immediately. Now.
Now?
What else is going on, guys?
What's this? I don't know. You have something in here that says one for Blake, but I don't know what it is. What is that?
About the blacktop baritone Telecaster that Fender used to do. It looks like Schecter has come out with something that looks almost identical, which I figured would be right up your alley if we're talking about.
Oh, I do like that. Oh, man, they did a good job. That's a pretty color.
So Fender discontinued their version, right? Schecter says, aha! I think we'll do one that's a little better this time, right?
Basically, that is the story. 27-inch
scale. Uh-huh. Designed for B2B or A2A. All right, I like that. Bridge humbucker. Trying to find the pricing on this. Oh, man, it looks really good. Oh, they've got a single coil and humbucker version?
I was going to say, if only they had a single coil bit.
Oh no, that's the old telly. Okay, I'm getting confused here. So it looks like the Schecter is just humbuckers, but man, that looks
always
great.
Easier to go from humbuckers to single tone than the other way, single coil than the other way, though, right? There's plenty of rooting in that there body.
And available for $9.99.
Exactly.
Not bad. I'm trying to get, I'm actually emailing the president of Schecter right now to have him on the podcast. So hopefully
we can make that happen. Stop doing your work whilst recording the podcast and concentrate on what you're doing, boy.
I'm so distracted because I'm wondering, you know.
Yeah, hey, you're busy Michael? Collecting all these pedals you get.
Dear Mr. Schecter, I am supposed to be recording a podcast right now. But I am asking if you would like to come on my own podcast called The Tome Off, because it is so much better than this stupid podcast I'm on.
I'd love it if his name was podcast, Hector.
I'm not even paying attention to.
Hector Schecter would Hector. Be the greatest Hector ever Schecter. CEO.
Hello, I am Hector Schecter.
S. Hector. Is that his name? S. Sam Hector.
Hector Schecter. Hector Schecter.
And now we're back to funny country music.
That was country. That's
country music. What?
That's the Beatles in Motley Crue.
That's not how the Beatles sound like. Just going to let you know.
They sound like this, right? Right.
Maybe the Australian Beatles. It's possible.
Right, what's all this then?
So, I was a little sick over the weekend, and as I was doing some social media work, you know, Brian picked me up on the fact that I had got some very Hendrixy tones out of my Black 65. Now, we know that Hendrix is very well known to be a Marshall guy. Every single photo, every single video shows it. But what did he record Wind Cries Mary with? Because the rumor is it was a bassman. No, it was an acoustasonic. No, the rumor was it was a Fender Amrite. And like I say, I couldn't believe, and again, you know, my amp is maybe a little dirtier than some others, but who knows? But I was getting the greatest Wind Cries Mary tone with my my Black 65, Bri. I don't know whether that is similar to the amp he was using. It's rumored to have been a Fender. But I tell you what. Yeah, it's a great, great amp for getting a Wind Cries Mary tone. Amp, pedal, and both. Just letting you know that right now.
I needed to know it.
Well, you need the pedal because we're nearly run out. I mean, like, there aren't many left in the shop.
Yeah, we're about out of them. Yeah.
So you need to get one.
I'm surprised
quickly.
That you guys still have any at all, especially with that classic tweed, you know, feel to the thing. You know,
I've had a couple of people come back to me and tell me how much they love that feed feeling.
Feed tweeling. Yeah,
the feed tweeling is pretty good. But I think right now, I mean, actually, the tweed has sold a little more than the Black 65. Right now, the Black 65 is my favorite because I got those kind of. Like, I was looking for that. I tried it with the Plexi drive. You know, I was dialing the Plexi drive down, and actually, Andy Ferris did a great video where he was demoing the Plexi drive, and he got a great Wind Cries Mary tone out of it. And I could get it, but I like my Plexi drive left all the way up. That's what that pedal is really good for.
Interesting.
So
I've been doing, I mean, I used to do it like that, but I've been doing kind of the opposite.
With your Plexi drive all the way down.
Yeah.
Well,
the gain, like, just a little bit of grit, a lot of volume.
Right, which gets you that kind of classic. Yeah, it's a great sound, but I like the kind of aggressive Angus Young side that it comes out with if you dial it in. So what I found is the Black 65, I can have as like my, it's not quite a Plexi, but it's quite gritty in its own way, especially with the boost going on. I'm struggling with my teeth again today. Must get some new ones.
The boot.
Mm-hmm. Can we put a switch called the boot on a pedal? I think we should. So yeah, I've been enjoying that, Bri.
So speaking of Jimmy, one of the greatest guitar performances of all time? Colorized footage of Jimmy.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Me that he performed in black and white because I think it was color back then.
Well, I mean, a lot of film was color back then, but a lot of the kind of more underground film, not official stuff, was black and white. There's a great bit of footage of him on the German TV show doing a number of tunes. So I think someone
only filmed in black and white. They didn't film in color back then, did they?
The Androids did, but the iPhones didn't. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I'm working with a pair of complete. I don't know. I don't want to say the words that are into my head right now, listeners.
Idiots? Moron?
That was the one.
Gorgeous men?
I'm working with two very gorgeous men. Oh, wait, that's right. What? Yeah,
no, and I'm knocks on the door. You're doing what now? What's going on in there?
It is one of the greatest performances, though, because it is him doing a fantastic version of Machine Gun Bright. You need to watch this before they take it down.
And you know they will. Like, look, everyone loves this. We should shut this down.
Well, everyone loves this. Let's charge money for it and release it on a format that no one's going to buy in 3 years.
Right. Let's put it on VHS.
We'll probably sell a thousand copies on VHS. Yeah.
I still don't understand the fact that cassette has made a comeback. That's just terrible.
Right?
Like, it was always the cheap format for, you know, we had nothing better. My daughter has purchased actual new cassettes. I'm like, why would you do that? You haven't even got a cassette player for a start. It's like, it's merch.
You know, the only thing a cassette is good for is making a awesome tape delay out of. That's the only thing it's good for.
And
I actually took a whole track and ran it out to my Tascam cassette 4-track, ran the whole thing through the cassette, and then ran it back into the DAW and kind of mixed it in a little bit.
Oh, I bet that was cool.
That was fun. Yeah,
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
But it's good because it sounds bad. Does that make any sense? Yeah.
It's like the gritty gnarliness of it, but that's what makes it cool.
Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing can be had for the general listening experience of tape. Like, it's kind of cheesy, it's kind of lame, but also it's kind of fun.
Maybe it's the danger. Will it break? Will it stretch? Will I accidentally leave a magnet near it?
Yeah, I mean, I spent a lot of time in my youth pulling out tapes that have been eaten and using a pencil to try to wind it
up. Oh yeah, definitely.
So I have a lot of disdain for tapes.
And also, they wore out. There's just no two ways around. They wore out really badly. And you had all those different Dolby noise reduction, like C and N and S. And isn't that a news channel? Maybe. And all of them were just different filterings. And it was like, this sounds awful. And then you had different tape types, like metal and chrome. And none of them were as cool as they sounded. They were all terrible.
Right. But you always got the high-end one because you wanted super crisp audio. And then when you got it with the CD and later on compressed formats like MP3, you're like, you know what I want? This is too crisp. I need to go back old school and make it work.
That's right.
But see, in the day, we were trying to make it better because it sucked so freaking bad.
The day I got my first CD player was like, this is it. I have arrived. I no longer have to deal with scratchy, skipping vinyl or stupid cassettes ever. And I built a huge CD collection when I was like in my late teens, early. It helped that a friend of mine worked at a record shop and did a special 3-for-1 discount for me. Don't think it was official, but CDs were the thing. And I kept most of mine, in fact, all of them, I think, but haven't played a CD for years. They'd probably sound brilliant if I listened to them.
Was your friend named Freddie and he gave you the 5-finger discount? Is that who that was?
If I mention his name, Interpol may crack down on him immediately. So I don't want to give away any criminalities that may have occurred 30 years ago.
You know, I was in Hollywood this past weekend.
Oh.
And I was on the Walk of Fame and there were people there. I'm not discussing our Riff War show stuff. This is a different scenario. To the audience, you do not want to know some of the before show stuff we talked about. You don't want to go there. Anyways, no. So I'm on the Hawk of Fame. I'm on the Hawk of Fame.
The Hoggywood Walk of Fame. That sounds more like it.
Walk of Fame. And there's people handing out CDs like, hey, listen to my music, listen to my music, listen to my music. I'm like, I don't even have a CD player if I wanted your music.
Were these the same dudes that are in New York? They're like, hey, get my music. And you're like, I don't want to. And you end up with it in your hand. And they're like, hey, that'll be $10.
Same type of deal.
Probably. I'm like, wait a minute. What? The first time that happened to me, and then it happened once, and I just turned into a native New Yorker, I think, like immediately after that. Like, nope, don't talk to me.
Yep.
Nope, don't want it. But yep. The first guy was like, oh, he seems kind of cool. And my foolish West Coast self coming over here. And then they're like, he's like, yeah, get my mixtape. I did stuff with Dr. Dre. No, he didn't. He didn't do anything with Dr. Dre.
Yeah, you sampled his music. That's what you did with him.
Right. Yeah, ripped off his whole beat.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so if you're handing out music, probably don't do CDs because I don't even have a CD player.
I mean, with the cost of removable media, you could just hand out USB sticks.
Yeah.
You could literally like buy $2 USB sticks and hand those out. I'm sure of it.
Yes.
Are you guys going to plug in a random USB from a stranger on the street?
I'm not, but
what's possible. The worst that could happen? I'll just plug it right into the Wumpler servers.
What about just a QR code? Just give a piece of paper with a QR code. Of course, they're going to
throw it away. Why hasn't he got the QR code tattooed on his forehead? That's what you're really saying, Bri. Hold on, no. There was a book about that once. Book of Revelations, I think. Maybe that's not a good
Revelation.
Yeah, maybe that's not such a good idea.
I don't think the Book of Revelation said one thing about QR codes.
It did. It was.
Oh, it did. Okay.
It was in the underscore notes there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll go back.
It says this part may not be original. You know, in the notes.
Why is this part written by Jay-Z?
So tell me more about Hollyweird, Bri. What were you doing there?
Oh, so I was in LA for a couple things. One of my kids graduated college there, so we went.
Congratulations to Wampler Jr.
Allison. Yeah.
I don't want to give away your kid's name live on the air, Bri. You might want to beep that out.
She does not have a last name of Wampler, so you'll never figure out who it is. Anyways.
That's impossible. No one could possibly figure that out.
Right. Yeah. Google does not exist. Anyway, so she graduated, and then I went to the factory and had some meeting because, you know, that's where our factory is. And then we had some time to kill. So we did some touristy stuff, went to the Hollywood sign, went to the observatory. I'd never been there before. That was
awesome. Oh, that looks cool.
That was awesome. That was that amazing looked pretty cool. If you love astronomy and stuff. So that was probably my favorite part.
Did you see any UAPs?
I did not. And I was on the plane looking, like diligently looking, like,
where are they at?
I hear there are always UAPs around airplanes. And so I'm like looking around, right? Didn't see a one.
Mm.
But I did see a couple other planes like off to the sides. I'm like, I think we're racing them. I think that's what we're doing.
You probably were. Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else did we do? Went to the Walk of Fame. Saw the sign.
I think I saw you. You went
Disney.
To the.
Had to go. You got to go to Disney.
Okay, so what, you did a day at Disney? Did you?
No, just not Disney. We went to the Disney shops and ate and stuff. And we went to a Mexican place there in downtown Disney. That last time I was there in 2020, I think, was fantastic. 2019 or 2020, it was great. This time it was terrible with a
camera. I know the place.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's only one, I think.
There's like a takeout version and then like a sit down version.
Yep.
As your legal advisor, Bri, I'd just like to say we've annoyed Disney enough in our lifespan. We don't want their lawyers coming at us.
Well, I'm not saying
Disney's technically.
Yeah, I mean the problem is
oh, go far away then. Say slanderous things.
They need to improve. This is just a customer review. This is all this is. And my customer review is, you need to improve. Because you were great, now you ain't.
That sounds about right.
You know? So get your act together.
The problem with downtown...
Have queso. You didn't have queso. Who doesn't have queso in a Mexican restaurant? Anyway.
They didn't have queso?
They had no queso.
Is queso an American cheese?
It's just like a, well, they call it like a Mexican cheese, but it's probably more like Texas.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
The problem with Downtown Disney is that because it's linked there and they kind of have a monopoly on that area, is everything down there is like, it's already expensive in California, right? Yeah. But everything in Downtown Disney is like another 20% more on top of that, just because it is.
Yeah.
It's like, it's been 2019, I went to the Ballast Point Brewing down there, which is a good brewery. It was fun. I had a great meal. I had a burger. My friend had a burger. We each got one beer, and I got other ones. Was $85. Right. I was like, what?
A $35 burger. It should have been about $8.
It was good, but it wasn't $35 good.
Right. See, I think I only ate once at a Disney property while we were there. Hard Rock Cafe was Universal, so I think we ate at House of Blues, which is a Disney property, and I ordered like the buttermilk fried chicken, and like I was expecting, you know, maybe two thighs and a wing, like small, normal, regular portions, but they essentially delivered me what must have been a mutant turkey that they'd deep fried. It was huge. The portions were massive, and like it wasn't great food. It was okay, but I just kind of expect that from like a franchised area, which is kind of how Disney operate. You know, everything is kind of to a set standard. It's not going to offend anybody, but you're not going to say it's the best meal you've ever eaten unless you're extremely high, Bri. Which
now we're talking.
You know,
I'm picturing Rich here.
Hold on, kids. Just a second.
Hang on.
Hold on, kids.
Let's go eat.
Let's go eat. Woo! Dad's got an appetite now. Here, hold my lighter.
You say it as if it's a bad thing.
No.
It's legal in California. There's delivery services for
I don't need to hear this.
There is the Uber of marijuana in California.
Well, you know, if I ever make it out there, which hopefully I will at some point to California, then good luck getting me home. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know what? I can just say it now.
I am now going to be a resident here.
Speaking of terrible things, though, did you guys see this 3D plastic, I think it was 3D printed, plastic volume shield for Stratocasters that has been bandied around the internet?
That was a 3D print thing.
I mean, it might be professionally made, but I would imagine it started off as someone's idea and was 3D printed. I'm going to put it in the category of things that just simply do not need to exist. I do not understand. Like, I get that some people...
I get it.
Pick better. That's all I'm going to say. If you can't avoid that volume control, the problem is not a lack of plastic on your guitar. I'm just going to let you know.
Let's describe it here. So it attaches to your pick guard with this little screw.
It's like a little hook-shaped device.
It's quite cleverly made. It uses the original screw of the pick guard, so its aesthetics have been worked as well as can be for what it is.
It shields over the volume control, so when you're picking, you don't accidentally hit your volume. Now, it makes it difficult when you want to use your volume, though. That makes it difficult. And the other thing
it really shields it well.
Yeah.
If you're picking that hard, you might want to put a little practice into not picking that way anymore.
I will say this, in its defense, even though I'm a avid volume knob abuser, I'm constantly riding my volume
knob. Yes, the rumors are that you are a massive knob abuser. Yes, I'm aware of this.
There are rumors, and I will not confirm nor deny any of those things.
Hot take.
But being... as I don't play strats very often, I will say I find the volume knob to be in a stupid place. As a guy that grew up with Les Pauls, I don't have any problems with the knob locations on a Les Paul. I can totally avoid them.
Yeah.
Strats, I definitely can.
A little funky.
Yeah, it's not great. That's as genius of a design as the Strat is from an ergonomic standpoint, like, we should have done something different with those knobs. I don't know what, because I'm not as smart as Leo Fender, and maybe there's something to it that I don't understand. But I understand why somebody came up with this device, because I definitely hit strat volume knobs unintentionally.
Well, see, that's in a way, if you swell with your guitar knob, if you do swells,
and
it's
I do.
Actually a good place for it to be, though.
It's set, perfect.
Set your pinky on it and do swells.
Yeah, so I've so, been like,
too close.
I kind of, but for some stuff, I kind of like it there.
So what we're really saying is this. If you're playing so hard and fast that you're going to hit that volume control, probably go and buy a different guitar. But if you're playing something, I don't know, Mark Knopfler-esque, then it's perfect to have that control. Because I've been doing Brothers in Arms recently, which has like huge amounts of volume swells. He gets like these violin sounds out of his guitar. You can, and in the tab, it's like, use a volume pedal for this. I'm like, don't be silly. I've got a Strat. And it's brilliant on a Strat. It's really hard on a Tele because of the weight of that knurled knob. Yeah. You know, you can do it, but it just, the Strat is great at it.
And it's a bigger stretch, too.
It's a bigger stretch. You can do it.
Cathedral? I think it's Cathedral from Van Halen. It was, it's all volume knob up and down stuff. And you got to have the Strat to do that properly.
You have. And why not?
It's got to be there.
Enjoy one of the Strat's key strengths, in my opinion. The fact that you can play those knobs like a cheap, oh, I'm going to say something terrible here. I can't, no, back uh-oh out immediately.
Piano. Piano.
Like
piano.
A cheap piano. Just piano. Thank you.
Keyboard. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Like a DX7. Oh,
that was close.
Wow.
Almost had to mark this one explicit.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of explicivity.
Whoa. Speaking of explicit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Did I tell you guys that we have a new guest executive producer announcer today?
No.
We do.
What?
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Before we go there, Bri, we do have to touch on one very, very important thing.
Oh, okay.
You have been very involved.
Oh, and yes.
I have been slightly involved in a brand new pedal that is releasing in 2 days from the time of this going out. And it's not what you would expect from Brian Wampler. Well, it is. It's a game pedal. But you've worked with with Ben over at Electric Love Pedals.
Yes.
On the Aquatone pedal. Tell me about it, Bri.
Well, so I actually saw Ben's stuff on Reverb at one time, and I, in the listing, it kind of mentioned why he even created a company, and that really struck a nerve with me. I'm like, that's cool. So I think that's worthy to explain what's going on. So Ben Carlin was a fairly new guitar player, fairly new to electronics at the time, but
I think he works in law enforcement or something.
I think so.
I don't want to give too much away in case it's the FBI.
Super wonderful person, but his wife came down with breast cancer, blues breast cancer. Yeah, breast cancer at a young age. And she did make a full recovery. And then 2 years later, his daughter had brain cancer.
Jeez.
I'm like, oh my God. So he decided, you know, just more like for therapy. He's like, I'm just going to make some guitar pedals, you know, take some kits. Make some kits, and I'm going to like donate all of this profit. I'm not trying to make a job out of it. I'm just going to donate all the profit to a cancer charity and try to make some sort of dent on the world. And, you know, we've done some stuff like that in the past. That's something that's really close to my heart. So I'm like, you know what? I got a hold of him. I'm like, dude, let me design a pedal for you. You know, I'm like, I'll help you with like the video stuff, will help with the marketing, will help with everything that we need to do to like get this to as many people as possible. So we did that. We took like, started off with the blues drivery type of circuit, changed it in, you know me, like I'm going to add high gain versions and 3-band EQs and just do
swapped one things. Resistor and one capacitor. Trust me. Trust me. I know
basically
this
we
now.
Changed the LED color.
I clipped a resistor out of it.
No, so it's like, I mean,
it's a fantastic sounding pedal.
Yeah, it's so good that I got the final product. I'm like, huh, this, I'm leaving a lot of money on the table here. But I'm happy to, because it really is that good. It's a fantastic pedal. So I'll be coming out with a video for that shortly. It's released. What date is it released?
It's the 19th, I believe. 19th. So this is going out 17th, 18th, yep. I guess.
Talked to Josh Scott. He's going to help do some promotion with it as well. So, I mean, really the whole thing is we're just trying to drive a lot of awareness and as much money to help with this horrible condition.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's face it. If cancer hasn't affected, you know, you in your family or extended family or friends, you've been very lucky. It's a horrible disease. And, you know, nearly every one of us has been, absolutely screwed over by it at some point in our families and extended families. So it resonated with me straight away, obviously. I mean, we've shared a lot of their content in the past, Bri, because basically Bri's a big softie, and I guess I am too. And we were like, yeah, we got to help this guy out. I didn't even know it was happening. And then they were like, oh, now we've got to get the graphics sorted and that. And the design was done, I think it was Claudia, I'm not sure which way she pronounces it, over at Sketchy Pedals.
Sketchy Pedals.
She did a design, and then I helped kind of get that ready for print and kind of do a little bit of consultancy on some other bits and pieces. And Ben immediately is like, I'm sending you one. I was like, dude, let me pay for it. He wouldn't let me pay for it. He's such a nice guy. But, you know, we will do everything we can to push that pedal, but I don't think we're going to need to, Bri. It sounds freaking awesome.
It's really good.
I'm really excited to have that come out, and the small contribution I've paid towards it, which I didn't bill you for, Bri, before you ask, all right? We never had the conversation.
You billed me for it. I don't know why. Yeah.
Don't tell Blake, but it's that extra line on his bill.
I wondered what that was.
And before we do... Line. Before we do turn over to our special guest announcer, Bri, I'd also like to give a big shout out to Ryan Burke and Steve over. Do you say Steve Rowe or Steve Rao?
Rao.
Steve Rao, mm-hmm. Who is half Asian, which means their podcast is more Asian than ours, because essentially they're a quarter Asian and we're a sixth Asian. Unless you've got some Asian in you, Blake, that I don't know about.
Yeah, you can tell, right?
Remove them immediately. They gave us a very interesting shout out. They were doing some pedal marketing slogans, and they held up the bell and said, tiny footprint. Well, I'll let you figure out the rest, Bri. But it was kind of complimentary, I think. But I enjoyed it greatly.
I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
click on the link I sent you.
I did, but I think I was in the middle of something. I didn't get to it.
I did, but this is going to sound weird, but the link that I saw went right to their StringJoy ad.
That's where it went for me. Yeah. Right. And I was listening. I'm like, I've got.
I was like,
I've
where is this at? Yeah.
It went right to the StringJoy ad.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm waiting.
I wasn't sharing a StringJoy ad with you. That would be silly. No, it was most amusing. I very much enjoyed it. They made a little play on the fact that my name, Richard, can be shortened to a slang Rich? Term for the male appendage. Yes, that's it, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky.
That's the
Ricky, yeah.
We're going to get there eventually, Bri. Mm-hmm. So,
Ricky Ollie.
Come on.
Ricky Ollie.
All right, so anyways...
It was Dick, all right?
I had the... I had the chance to hang out with an old buddy this weekend, and I said, you know what you should do, Hank? You need to talk about our executive producers and really how much we appreciate all they do to help us do this podcast. And he said, you know what, Brian? I can't do his voice. You know what, Brian? I'll tell you what. Nice. That's what we'll do.
I'll tell you what, Brian. I'll go ahead and do it for you.
Right. So without further ado, we'll talk to everyone later and enjoy our good friend, Hank Hill.
All right, listen up, folks. I said I'd do this one more time, so here it goes. Abigo, I tell you what, thank you to our Patreon executive producers. You folks are the propane that keeps this grill burning, if you catch my drift. Now, let's not make a habit of this, you hear? I've got a lawn that's not gonna mow itself. Thank you to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Night Hoss, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver and the band, Reduced to Rust, I tell you what, Eric Wilson, Vadar Frostad, that boy needs a talking to, I tell you what. Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fournays, Dylan Toxtone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, I like to play a little myself, Felicity who makes the annoying memes, Tom Kelly, yep, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Robbie Stokes, god dang it, Robbie, Jordan from Poison Noises, Nick Spano, the Twang Kings, Saucer Sir, yep, tell you what, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Grumpy Mike, speaking of Grumpy Mike, you know, I do have a sense of humor. I laugh at Tony Danza, Harry Post, the Studio Rats, Harvey Petals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, and speaking of prostate exam, you know, Peggy, there's a lot of things I'd rather be doing, like mowing lawn or discussing the merits of propane, but if it's between a little awkwardness and keeping myself healthy for my family, then dang it, schedule the appointment. Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, and Philip Carter from the 40 Watt Podcast. Hey, Bobby's been listening to some comedy podcast lately. Keeps laughing at jokes I don't understand. I tell you what, they had a podcast about the proper way to maintain a lawn or why charcoal is inferior to propane. Maybe I'd give that a listen. But there you have it, folks. Big thanks to our executive producers for keeping the fires burning. You're the propane in this operation. But remember, you can always taste the meat, not the heat, when you choose propane for all your needs. I've done my part, so I'm clocking out. Lawn's not going to mow itself, you know. Until next time, I'll tell you what.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com, and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.